You take Christ on His terms, not yours. The proud sinner wants Christ and His pleasure. The proud sinner wants Christ and His covetousness. The proud sinner wants Christ and His immorality. But the broken sinner is so desperate, he'll give up anything just to have Christ.
What if you had to have an operation to save your life, but your doctor didn't tell you how critical your condition was? In fact, maybe he wasn't capable of accurately diagnosing you, and because of this misdiagnosis, the treatment he prescribed was worthless. Well, today on Grace to You, John MacArthur is going to put that situation in a spiritual context that's frighteningly real in some of today's churches, maybe the one you attend. John is launching a study today called Hard to Believe. John, what should our listeners know about what was on your mind as you studied and taught this series? Such a provocative title, Hard to Believe.
You know, what really was on my mind, Carl, was the fact that people seem to make becoming a Christian easy. Pray this prayer, raise this hand, say you believe in Jesus, call on God, say these simple words, repeat after me. I mean, this has been going on in Christianity for a long, long time, since the days of, you know, big revival crusades where people are told to raise a hand or walk an aisle or pray a prayer. And now there are preachers who say, all you have to do is come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe in you. The Bible does not make believing in Jesus easy. It is hard. It is the hardest thing that a person could ever do. In fact, I guess we could say it's so hard that it's impossible. Jesus even said that. It's impossible. It's like trying to put a camel through the eye of a needle for an unregenerate person to bring himself into the kingdom of God, to buy his way in. The demands for true faith are extreme. But here's the good news. It is the Lord who can make a willing heart, and it is the Holy Spirit alone who can overcome the obstacles. What is required then of the sinner but to cry out and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess. I want to be rescued. I want to be delivered. Give me faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Save me. It's a cry to God. This is a critical study, Hard to Believe, from Luke 9. Don't miss a day.
Now, friend, if you've been taught that faith in Christ is easy, or even you've said that to someone, this study will give you a surprisingly different take. Here again is John MacArthur to kick off his series, Hard to Believe.
Open your Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter 9. I want to read verses 23 through 26, and then you'll have it in mind, and we'll begin to talk about it. Verse 23 of Luke 9, he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he's the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. It's brief, not many verses, not even very many words. But this is at the heart of the teaching of Jesus. This is a text about how to come after Jesus, how to follow Jesus, how to become a Christian, how to be saved, how to be redeemed and born again. That's what it's about. It is critical teaching. And one thing strikes you at the very outset, and that is coming after Jesus involves self-denial. That's clearly the first thing that's said. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. The gospel is a call for self-denial. It is not a call for self-fulfillment. And that puts the true gospel in opposition to the contemporary evangelical gospel, which is a gospel of self-fulfillment, self-help. Jesus is viewed as a utilitarian genie. You rub the lamp, he jumps out and says, you have whatever you want. And you give him your list, and he delivers. There are those within the framework of evangelicalism who tell you Jesus wants you well. And if you're not well, it's because you haven't claimed your healing. Jesus wants you prosperous and rich. And if you're not, it's because you haven't claimed it. Because Jesus doesn't want you having any troubles or any problems. Your salvation is a guarantee of health, wealth, prosperity, and happiness. The psychological, man-centered evangelicals tell you that Jesus gives you peace, and Jesus gives you joy, and Jesus makes you a better salesman, and Jesus helps you hit more home runs. Jesus really wants to make you feel better about yourself. He wants to elevate your self-image. He wants to put an end to your negative thinking. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you deny yourself, you take up your cross every day, and you follow me. It's the death of self. You win by losing. You live by dying. And that is the core, the heart message of the gospel. That is the center of discipleship. This is not an obscure passage. This is not something that's sort of different than the normal teaching of Jesus. These are principles which he teaches repeatedly throughout his ministry, over and over and over again in all different contexts. Let me show you that. Go back to the 10th chapter of Matthew for a moment. Matthew chapter 10. In verse 34, Jesus has been in the prior verses talking about confessing him. Of course, confessing him as Lord and Savior. Verse 32, everyone who confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father who's in heaven. So he's talking about confessing Christ as Lord. And then in verse 34, he says this, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his household. First thing, come to Christ. It may make your family worse, not better. It may send a rift into your family, the likes of which you have never heretofore experienced. But that's the way it is. Because if you give your life to Jesus Christ, there will be an impassable gulf between you and the people in your family who don't. Verse 39, he who has found his life shall lose it. He who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. It's about losing your life. It's not a man-centered theology. It's a Christ-centered theology that says, I give everything to Christ no matter what it costs me. Well, that's Matthew 10. Mark 10 is another illustration of this teaching of Jesus. This is absolutely at the heart of Jesus' teaching. That's why these few verses are going to take us some time to work through, because this must be understood. Mark 10, 21. Jesus here is speaking to this rich young ruler who wants eternal life. He asks in verse 17 about eternal life. And Jesus, you remember, talks to him, and if you put the whole account together, Jesus confronts his sin. He won't admit it, and he won't give up his self-righteousness, which is the worst sin. And then Jesus talks about his money, and he's not about to give up his money. He wants Jesus. Yes, he wants eternal life, but Jesus throws in his face, you're going to have to give up your self-righteousness. That is, you're going to have to recognize yourself as an unworthy, wretched sinner, and you're going to have to be willing to give up all your earthly possessions if I ask. And you remember the story. He wouldn't do it. Verse 21, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go sell all you possess, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. Jesus said, the price is be willing to give up everything. I might not ask it, but I might. The price is be willing. At these words, his face fell. He went away grieved. He was one who owned much property. I'd rather have my money, I'd rather have my property than Jesus, then you're not worthy to be his disciple. If you're not willing to be separated in your family, if you're not willing to be separated from the world, if you're not willing to be separated from the material things that you possess, then Jesus isn't that valuable to you. It's an all or nothing proposition. In the 17th chapter of Luke, Jesus speaking again on another occasion, says this, verse 33, "Whoever seeks to keep his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life shall preserve it." It's the same principle. You try to hold on to you, your plans, your agenda, your success, your self-esteem, you lose. You lose. In the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, so you know that John didn't leave this core teaching from Jesus out, verse 24, John 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." If you're going to be fruitful in following me, Jesus says, it's going to cost you your life. You're going to have to die. "He who loves his life," verse 25, "loses it. He who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me." And the path that he was going was a path to persecution and death. So you want to come after Jesus, do you? So you want to follow Jesus, do you? It'll just cost you absolutely everything. Oh, the Lord might not take your life. He might not take all your money. He might not take your family or your spouse. He might not take your job, but you need to be willing if that's what He wants. You need to be desperate enough to embrace Christ no matter what the price. Let's transition back to Luke 9 and pick it up there. This is a shocking experience for the apostles, having come to this glorious confession and now being told not to say anything and then being told Jesus is going to die. And not only is Jesus going to die, but He's saying to them all, back to verse 23, Luke 9, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And with that statement, Jesus opens up the paradox of discipleship. The paradox of discipleship. Now, this section, I'll just kind of break it down into four categories: the principle, the paradox, the parousia, and the preview, which we'll look at as we go. I want you to look at the principle in verse 23. The principle. It isn't hard to figure the principle out. It's simply this. If you want to follow Christ, you want to be a Christian, do you? Here's the message. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Do you hear that in the contemporary gospel? Do you ever hear that? Do you ever hear that in a message given by a television preacher or an evangelist? Do you ever hear anybody say that? Do you ever hear anybody stand up in a crowd and say, if you want to become a Christian, slay yourself. Deny yourself all the things that yourself longs for and wants and hopes for. Be willing to die and slavishly submit in obedience to Jesus Christ. That doesn't sell. That's not smart marketing. Just happens to be the truth. So what do you want to do? Get someone artificially converted? That's the popular way. Give people the illusion they're saved when they're not, so that someday when they face Christ, they're going to say, "Lord, Lord," and He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The gospel has to be the gospel. You want to follow me then? The principle is, it's the end of you if you want to follow me. It's the end of you. You don't exist anymore. Paul said it this way, "For to me to live is what? Christ. And to die is..." I've learned how to be abased and how to abound. I've learned how to have things and not have things. Doesn't matter. If I live, I live to the Lord. If I die, I die unto the Lord. What's the difference? I'm the Lord's. That's the attitude. Men want glory. They want health. They want wealth. They want happiness. They want all their felt needs met, all their little human itches scratched. They want a painless life. They want the crown without the cross. They want the gain without the pain. That's how people think. That's not God's interest. The author of our salvation, according to Hebrews 2:10, was made perfect through suffering, and so are we as well, taken through the crucible of suffering. And where we suffer, first of all, is in the death of all hopes, all ambitions, all desires, all longings, all needs that are human. That's the point. So you want to be a Christian. It's not easy. You'd think it was easy. Today, if you want to be a Christian, pray these little words. Pray this little prayer and you'll be a Christian. It's not easy to be a Christian. Let me show you some things. Matthew 7:13. This is, again, the teaching of our Lord. Matthew 7:13, Sermon on the Mount, familiar words, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. First of all, become a Christian, you're going through a narrow gate. The idea of narrow here means constricted. I mean, it's one of those things that you have to kind of go through. It's very, very tight. You can't carry anything through it. You come through with nothing. There is a wide gate, but it leads to destruction. There's a wide religious gate, and people are going on there with all their baggage and all their self-needs and all their self-esteem and all their desire for fulfillment and self-satisfaction and all of that. They're going on there, but it doesn't go to heaven. It says heaven, but it ends up in hell. And many go that way. But there is also, verse 14, this very small, narrow gate, and it leads to eternal life. But notice this. Few are those who find it. And the idea is it's hard to find. And I agree that it's hard to find. It's especially hard to find today. You could go to church after church after church after church after church and never find it. It's a very narrow gate. If you turn to the 13th chapter of Luke, you'll see some more elements of this same teaching. Luke 13:23. This is very, very important. Someone said to Jesus as he was passing from one city and village to another on his way down to Jerusalem, someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? That was the implication of Jesus' teaching, that this is a narrow gate, that this is hard to find. And so the question comes, it seems like you're saying there are just a few who are being saved. And he said to them, agonize, agonizomai, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. It's hard to find and it's hard to get through. Why? Why is it so hard to find and why is it so hard to get through? Answer, because it's so hard to deny yourself. So hard. That's the reigning reality in human fallenness, that man is the master of his own soul, the captain of his own fate, that man is the monarch of his own world, that man is king, and to say he has to slay himself, deny himself, that's too much to swallow. You preach a gospel that doesn't include that, and people will flock around to get out of hell into heaven. You start preaching the true gospel that calls for total and absolute self-denial, the recognition that you have nothing of which you are worthy, nothing of which you can be commended, nothing in you that needs to be salvaged, but rather you're willing to slay everything you are, all your hopes, dreams, ambitions, for the sake of the pearl, for the sake of Christ, then you're coming on God's terms. That's not easy. It's hard, first of all, to find that truth, and it's even harder once you've heard it to submit to it. Because man worships himself, he's his own God. What we need to be telling people is not come to Christ and you'll feel better about yourself, is not Jesus wants to meet whatever your needs are. Jesus doesn't want to meet your needs, your worldly, earthly, human needs. He wants you to be willing to say, I will abandon all the things I think I need for the sake of Christ. So, a little further along in the 14th chapter of Luke's gospel, go down to verse 28. Which of you, Jesus says, who wants to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost, see if he has enough to complete it. Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all those who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Now, if you're going to come to Christ, you're going to have to count the cost. You're going to have to count the cost before you make a pretense that you're going to come to Christ, a pretense that you're going to follow Jesus. Have you counted the cost? Do you understand there's a price to pay? We know what the price is. The price has just been given in verses 26 and 27, which I read earlier. Hating your father and mother if necessary, hating your own life, carrying your cross, coming after me, that's the price. That there's nothing in the world, the human realm that you hold dear, enough to forfeit Christ. What king, verse 31, if he's going to go out and fight a battle with another king, doesn't sit down, take counsel whether he's strong enough with 10,000 men to counter the one coming against him with 20,000, or else while the other's far away, he sends a delegation to ask terms of peace. You either make peace with the enemy if you can't conquer him, or you make sure you got the troops that it's going to take to win the battle. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't come to me unless you've assessed the price. And the price is self-denial, self-crucifixion, and self-submission. In verse 33, he gives the point. Don't think it's anything less than this. No one of you can be my disciple who doesn't give up all his own possessions. Jesus said, you have to be willing to give up everything. You're not going to get saved by dumping all your earthly goods, but you have to be willing to give up everything. That's how devoted you are to the cause of Christ. You will deny yourself all of your worldly longings. You will deny your own right to live and give your life, if need be, for the cause of Jesus Christ, and you will submit to His will, following Him whatever He asks, whether He says you must lose these things or you can keep them. That's up to Him. And then Jesus told those two parables in Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. He said there was a man who found a treasure hidden in a field, and he saw the value of the treasure, and he sold everything for the treasure. Then he said there was a pearl of great price. The man found the pearl of great price. He sold everything to get the pearl. It's the selling everything that is the essence of salvation. It's I give up everything. I deny myself. I offer my life, both in terms of death, if need be, and in terms of obedience in life. This is the message of the gospel. So when you go to preach the gospel, that's what you have to say. Now, you say, but people aren't going to buy that. Well, wait a minute. People aren't going to buy that. Of course not, unless the Spirit of God is working in their heart, right? Unless the Spirit of God is doing the work of conviction, and the Spirit of God is awakening the dead heart, and the Spirit of God is generating faith. And then that's the only true message that, connected with the work of the Spirit, will produce true salvation. Don't reinvent the gospel to suit you. That's what's being done today. If anyone, anybody, wishes to come after me. Open invitation. Any of you wish to come? Anybody here want to come? Well, you have to believe in Jesus. You have to confess Him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Lord, Savior. Then you have to be willing to have a rift in your family, a rift in your marriage, a rift with the world that could cost you your life, and a rift with your own personal ambitions, and submit your whole life to following Him and doing whatever He asks. It's not the one who says, Lord, Lord, Jesus said, it's the one who does the will of my Father, and this is the will of my Father, that you submit to the Son. This is the gospel. It's a gospel of self-denial. It's a gospel of self-sacrifice and self-submission. Deny yourself, take up your cross every day, put your life on the line for the cause of Christ, and then follow in the sense that you do whatever He asks. If you give anything less than that as the terms of the gospel, then somebody could be deceived, right? You say, but what if they don't respond? That's not the issue. That's within the power of God to determine. What you're responsible for is the purity of the gospel. Well, next time we're going to go into these elements of the principle in verse 23, self-denial, taking up the cross, and following Him. I wish I could give this all in one message, but I can't. And I can't shortcut the material because it's too critical and it's too germane to the essence of the gospel. But I think you can tell by now how critically important this is. how replete it is in the teaching of Jesus. And as we get into these elements next time and move from the principle to the paradox, you're going to see clearly what is your responsibility in terms of following Jesus and in terms of proclaiming that message to others. Let's bow in prayer. Our Lord, we are again reminded that this is not a human work, nor could we accomplish it in our own strength. But it is your mighty work to break us of ourselves. It is your work to make us have a broken and a contrite heart, to make us able to give up everything, to let go of everything, to lose all self-desire, self-will, to set aside all of our dreams and ambitions, goals, plans, hopes, assumed needs, and in desperation, contemplating our sinfulness, embrace the salvation that Jesus gives and the wonderful spiritual riches that come with it in time and eternity as the pearl of great price for which we would gladly sell everything. Would we be faithful, O God, by your strength and by your truth and by your Holy Spirit to proclaim this message to sinners that's not minimalistic, that not superficial or shallow, but that calls for what true discipleship really calls for. And that is the death of myself, that I might live in Christ. May this glorious gospel become part of us, both in our believing and in our witnessing, we pray in the Savior's name. Amen.
Denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following. Like John MacArthur said, that's the hard message of the gospel, but it's the message you need to be trusting that God will enable folks to believe. Hard to Believe is the title of John's current study here on Grace to You. And keep in mind that just for a few more days, you can get this current study along with nearly all of our Bible study resources at 25% off the normal price. Just pick up your CD for the study Hard to Believe, or maybe a book by the same title, or a copy of the MacArthur Study Bible. Contact us today. Remember, you can shop online at gty.org, or when you call the toll-free number 1-800-55-GRACE. And keep in mind, this is a limited-time sale that ends on Sunday, so don't miss out on this opportunity to get, for example, the MacArthur Study Bible, the book, Hard to Believe, or the CD album by the same title, or any of John's Bible study resources for 25% off. Place that order today when you call 800-55-GRACE or when you visit gty.org. And then thank you, too, for remembering that the support of listeners like you is what helps keep John's verse-by-verse teaching on the air here in your neighborhood and in communities around the world. To help take the hard-to-believe truth of the gospel from Southern California to folks all around the world, mail your tax-deductible donation to Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And remember, you can also donate online at gty.org or when you call 1-800-55-GRACE. For John MacArthur and the staff, thanks for tuning in today. Please come back at the same time tomorrow as John shows you what he calls the necessary components of saving faith. It's a part of the study, Hard to Believe, another 30 minutes of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, here on Grace to You.